We're going to be reading today for our scripture reading, Romans chapter 16. And can you imagine that we have reached the last chapter of the book of Romans? We've been studying this book for a very long time. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Crenchia, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. To Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Trypana and Trophosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Priscus, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. Also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Narcissus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints that are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Amen. It is very common for people to simply pass over this chapter. In some ways, you can understand why. It's just filled with unfamiliar names. And so we ask the question of what value is this for us to study, and why should we be looking at it? Well, there is a lot of meat, a lot that we can learn in these verses, and we're going to be looking primarily at the life of one particular person. And if time allows, we'll get to two others who were fellow workers with the Apostle Paul. But first of all, we want to look at this lady, Phoebe. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Crenchia, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Paul devotes these two verses to this one individual, this lady by the name of Phoebe, who he says is a servant and a member of the church which is in Crenchia. Crenchia was a neighboring port city of Corinth from which Paul wrote this letter, and the church at Crenchia, we think, probably was an offspring of the church in Corinth, that the church in Corinth started a church not too far down the road. And It was from Crenshea, you'll remember, at the end of Paul's first ministry in Corinth, that we read that Paul and Priscilla and Aquila set out to sea for Syria. Now, Paul could commend this woman not only for what she had done as a faithful sister and servant of Christ, but also for something that she was soon to do in serving the Lord. It's almost certain that it was Phoebe who delivered the letter to the Romans in person to the church at Rome, a responsibility that was really a great one. We're going to look at this in a little more detail a little later. Now, the name Phoebe means bright or radiant, and that seems to fit from Paul's description of her. She certainly was characterized as a bright and radiant person in terms of her personal Christian life. Now, Paul commends her to the church in Rome in three different ways. He talks of her, first of all, as a sister in Christ. And then he speaks of her as a servant. And then he speaks of her as a helper of many, including himself. First of all, when we look at the issue of her being a sister in Christ, we have to realize how important it is for us to think of ourselves as a group of people who actually make up a family. We're told that we are a part of the household of God. It says this, for instance, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, where we read this: "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." I like to think of what it means to be part of a household. I grew up in a household of four, father and mother, and I have one sister. And we grew up in a house together. And we had very close relationships. Loved my parents, they loved me, loved my sister. And there were times that we could enjoy the fellowship that we could have as a household, as a group of people who were together as a family. And I'm sure that all of you can think of yourselves in those terms. There are households of father and mother and children. There are households of just husband and wife. There are households that would be a father and children or a mother and children. And then there are households that consist of simply one person. But every one of us is a member of a household, a member of a place where when the door is shut, we can enjoy what we are as a family. The family of God is something very much like that. I like to think that every one of us can enjoy an in-depth relationship with each other, that we're brothers and sisters. The Word of God tells us this, but do we feel it in reality? That's the important thing. Can I say that wherever I go, when I meet a Christian, this is my brother or this is my sister? That should be the attitude that we have. You know, Jesus said that it is by this that all men will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. You see, we are of one household. I've told these stories before, but I've had the pleasure during my time in the army and in other times of visiting many foreign countries. And I think just about every country I've been in, I've met people who know the Lord Jesus. I can remember visiting in Tenerife. And I remember when we were in Tenerife, as we walked from the place that we were staying, we found a group of believers that were gathering together to worship on a Sunday morning. And amazingly, they were worshiping in the English language. We gathered together with them and found out that this is a church that was founded by a British man who was not a pastor back in Great Britain, but instead he was a businessman, and he gave up his business to be able to go and to preach the gospel. And there he was, and there were people who came every year as they vacationed on this particular island, and there they would gather together to worship. And there was a sense in which, meeting him within a few minutes, I recognized him as my brother. And that relationship was one that could be seen as close, even closer than that of a natural family. I remember visiting in Uganda and meeting people there. I remember preaching in church services there. And I remember one lady in particular. Oh, I guess she was about 30 years old. She ran up to me at the end of the service, and she put her arms around me and said, "It's so good to see you, my brother." And I just rejoiced that I had brothers and sisters all around the world. And when we look at it that way, we can say that we truly love one another. Oh, how it would be if that were a reality in the lives of every single Christian. The world would look at us and say, "This is amazing that you can love one another." Well, that's the first thing that was said about Phoebe. She was a sister in Christ. But then she is called a servant. You remember it says that she is a servant of the church which is in Crenchia. The word servant is a translation of the Greek word diakonos, from which we get our word deacon. Now, we don't really know whether back in the early church there was an office within the church for females that could be called a deaconess. The word diakonos is a very interesting word. It really does not have a feminine equivalent. The word, as it's put here in Greek, is actually in the neuter. So we have no sense of what this actually means. It's a word that was used to talk about servants and in many different contexts. For instance, it was used of the household servants who drew the water that Jesus turned into wine that we read about in John chapter 2. Paul used the term in the 13th chapter of this book of Romans, referring to the government, where it says it was a minister of God to you for good. The word diakonos is the word that is used there. And of course, where it is describing those who were in the office of deacon, it was translated deacon. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul declares this, right after talking about those who were in the office of the elders or the bishop, and speaking about the women, he says, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossip, but temperate, faithful in all things." Some will argue that it's talking here about the wives of deacons. Well, that's a possibility, but it doesn't make a lot of sense that there would be a passage about the wives of deacons and nothing about the qualification for the wives of the bishops. So many people believe that this is talking about a position that women in that day had in the church. But one way or another, women have been the greatest servants in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've pastored many churches, both in the army and in the civilian world. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the sisters in the churches would fall apart. They really would. We men don't do it all. And we rely on faithful sisters who do so many things within the church. And as I said, without them, the church would probably fall apart. Here was Phoebe, who was a faithful servant. Entrusted to her was an incredible responsibility. She was the one, as we said, who was carrying the letter that we call the Epistle to the Romans to Rome to be delivered to the church in Rome. Well, it doesn't sound like a big deal to us today. I mean, I'd have no problem at all. I get on my computer and I just type the thing out and zap it as an email and there'd be no problem at all. They didn't have computers then. I mean, they didn't even have carbon paper then. I mean, all they had was very crude writing material, and it was extremely expensive. Now, when the person who actually wrote the letter, Tertius, who's mentioned later on in this chapter, in verse 22, where it says, "I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord," there couldn't have been more than one copy because of the cost of the material and because of the time that was involved for him to write all of this by hand. So here was a document that was going to become part of the Holy Word of God, and it was entrusted to this woman, Phoebe, who was going to take it all the way from Crenchia to Rome. Only the most reliable person would be given a responsibility like this. You see, the journey that she would take would involve travel across land. It would involve travel across sea. Travel in those days was often extremely hazardous. There were very few inns along the way, and usually they were connected with the worst sort of taverns. Sometimes there were even brothels there. I mean, it was dangerous for someone to travel, and I may say especially for a woman. And yet, there she was traveling. Well, my guess is that she had friends along the way. She knew people, and she was able to get places to stay as she traveled towards Rome. It was a long and arduous journey, but Phoebe faithfully took the letter to the Romans. Now, we're told that Phoebe was to be received into fellowship in a manner worthy of saints. That is, as a true and faithful believer. You see, Jesus promised that when believers minister even to one of the least of his brethren, he was doing it for him. Remember the words that we read in Matthew chapter 25. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me, in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brethren of mine, even to the least of them, so you did it to me. Those in the church of Rome were told, you are to treat her as a true saint. You are to give to her that status and bring her right in and make her a part of the congregation. Christians are to receive, to love, to minister to each other in a way that's distinct from the way the world around us does it, and that the world cannot comprehend. We're to embrace, serve, and care for all those who genuinely name the name of Christ. And that's what the people in the Church of Rome were told to do for Phoebe. So it was an arduous journey, but my guess is that when she arrived in Rome, she was welcomed with open arms. She was given the love that should be given to a saint, one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an indication of two of the things that Paul says that characterized Phoebe. First of all, she was a sister. Secondly, she was a servant. Thirdly, we are told that she was a helper. Now, we're told that, for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. Paul requested that the Roman church help Phoebe in whatever matter she had need of. And now we're told that she herself is a helper. The word that's translated helper is an interesting one. It's a word that normally speaks of a patron, usually a wealthy person who had vast resources and who contributed those resources to a cause. We think, let us say, of a patron of the arts, or a patron who loved the church and gave to it. Well, there's a very good possibility that since Paul chose to use this word, that Phoebe was a wealthy woman. She was one who had great resources. She probably was one who was given high esteem. She may very well have been a businesswoman of considerable wealth. And she used her resources and financial means, as well as her personal time and effort, as a helper of many fellow believers, and specifically a helper of the Apostle Paul. It's interesting, this statement speaks just as much about Paul himself as it does about Phoebe. The apostle readily and graciously acknowledged his indebtedness to and his love for this Christian sister, one who forever will be remembered because of these two verses in the book of Romans. Phoebe was a sister. Phoebe was a servant. And Phoebe was a helper, one who loved the Apostle Paul and helped him in so many ways. I'm amazed, I really am, that this woman would take it on herself to take this precious document and to travel on a journey that in those days was arduous to say the least, and to take that document to the church in Rome. We must honor her also for what she had done. And Paul goes on to talk about many other people. It's interesting that he speaks here about several, but the ones that come next are Priscilla and Aquila. And we're not going to get into great detail. We can't today. That'll be our project for next week, to look into what Paul says about Priscilla and Aquila and who they were. But just a little background as we would close our study today. Priscilla and Aquila were faithful believers who met the Apostle Paul, and he had a very close relationship with them, because you'll remember that Paul was a tent maker, and by making tents, he supported himself in the ministry to which God had called him. Well, Aquila was also a tent maker. So when they met, they were of the same trade, and they could, in effect, work together, and they became very close in their relationship. What I find very interesting is that Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, are mentioned 6 times in the Word of God. And 4 times, 4 of those times, Priscilla is named first. The woman is named first. 2 times, the man is named first. Well, some have suggested that the reason for that could be that Priscilla was of a higher social standing than her husband, her background. And that's a very good possibility. But I also think that it is indicative of the fact that here is another woman who was active in the service of the Lord. And God commends her by allowing her name to come even before that of her husband on 4 occasions in the Word of God. I think today the ultimate teaching that we should receive from what we've looked at would be the fact that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. That maybe one of us is a Phoebe, whose job will be to help those who are in need as they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe there will be an Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, in our midst. A husband and wife team who say, I don't care about anything else, but my life is going to be dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is not around anymore, but if there are those with whom I can travel to the ends of the earth to proclaim God's word, that's what I'm going to do. And maybe God will say, no, you're just going to stay in Savannah, Georgia. But right here, there's a ministry for you. Maybe it's in this church. And maybe as you're a part of this church, God would have you branch out into our community to reach people for the gospel, to share the word of God with those who are around us. I pray that each one of us will be just like Phoebe, Priscilla, and Aquila, serving God with fervor, honoring him, and loving him with all our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you have given each one of us a ministry. Sometimes we're not absolutely certain what you want to call us to, what job you have for us. But Father, we know that we have a work of service for you. And we ask our Father that each one of us will understand what God wants us to do. Maybe it's the preaching of the word. Maybe it's the serving in the local church. Maybe it's the outreach ministry. But whatever it is, each one of us is called to serve. Help us to be like Phoebe, Priscilla, and Aquila, totally dedicated to serving Jesus Christ. Send us forth into your world, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.